a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
And thank you for being here, and thank you to those of you who are joining us over the phone. My name is Kelsey Pritchard with the Governor's Office, and just a reminder for everyone in the room to use the microphones at the table during the question and answer period, and a reminder for everyone on the phone to mute your line, press star 6, and to unmute, press pound 6. And with that, I'll turn it over to Governor Dennis Dugard.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the press conference. It's been a busy last week in terms of bill introduction. I know in the Senate alone they've added 50 bills since we were last on the phone together, and all told now about 450 bills are in the legislative process and another seven joint resolutions. And so I've been spending a lot of time. I spent a couple hours this morning alone reading through bills and trying to catch up with the volume and understand some of the issues. And so I want to respond to any questions you may have. There may be a number of bills, quite a few bills, that I have not yet been able to digest. And I'm up to the task. It just takes some time. So with that, I'll open up for any questions you may have on any topic whatsoever.
Governor, there have been a lot of bills introduced on the Common Core standards being used in the state school districts, everything from proposing everything from repealing it to studying it. What's your opinion of Common Core standards, and what, if anything, would you like the legislature to do?
Well, as I mentioned before, I think the Common Core standards were initiated in good faith in an effort to provide for more rigor and clearer standards at each grade level, and in response to some stagnation in achievement levels across the country, and certainly we're seeing some stagnation in achievement levels here in South Dakota. This was a state-led effort by the governors and the chief education officers of the states. It was not written or required by the federal government, and no federal funding in South Dakota was received or dependent upon adopting the Common Core. There's been some internet chatter along those lines, and I want to make that misinformation I wanted to dispel that. At the same time, I think there are some valid concerns that have been raised. We don't want federal intrusion into the education system. That's been the province of the local governments and the states. We don't want to lose local control over curriculum. We want to protect student privacy and the privacy of individual student data. And some of the legislative proposals that have been making their way through the process, I know address, for example, the privacy of student data. And I think that's one bill with which I'm familiar and am supportive of. I think in the end, still, we want to ensure we maintain rigorous standards for our South Dakota students. And so long as these efforts to address valid concerns don't abandon the importance of rigorous standards, then I'm open to them.
But you would like to keep the common standards that are in place now?
I've read the Common Core standards, and anybody can easily find them. You can use your Google search engine and type South Dakota Common Core, and I'm sure you can find them very easily and read through them. And I encourage any parent who has concern about the standards to, if they've got a third grader, go read the third grade standards. And there are standards in math and in the language arts, and I think those who take the time to read the standards for themselves are often satisfied that the standards are not inappropriate. And I think it's also to remember that the standards do not change the power of the school boards and the teachers to determine the curriculum. How a child learns what their multiplication tables are it's still up to the school and the teachers to decide whether they use this book or that book, or go on the internet and or not go on the internet, use this speaker or that speaker. That's all within the local control of the school boards and the teachers. That's not something the Common Core standards have anything to do with.
Governor Dugard, Nate with SDPB. House Bill 1049 passed both the House and the Senate, and it's ready to be signed. And again, this was the bill establishing and revising certain provisions regarding the South Dakota Athletic Commission.
Yes.
I just was wondering what your thoughts on that were, and what exactly maybe this will do with mixed martial arts within the state of South Dakota.
Last year, when the South Dakota Athletic Commission was established, it was done with modest involvement by the executive branch. It was a legislative-initiated effort, and as is in the case of any legislative effort, or and including those that might be initiated by my office, you'll sometimes find after the fact that you missed some things, or you have some gaps or unintended consequences. And I think the legislation that has been brought to address those things is well considered and is important to have. It provides some protections that are necessary for members. It provides a responsible funding stream, opportunities. There's many ways in which it addresses shortfalls that were not evident when the bill was passed last year.
Follow up. And so is it safe to say then that you are in support of House Bill 1049?
You know, I have to admit I'm unaware of whether it was amended in the process, and so I want to read through it again. But as it was initially proposed, I was supportive. And so if it's been amended, I want to look at that. And it may be, too, that during the legislative process, opponents or concerns were raised that I hadn't considered. So I always reserve the right to reconsider and understand positions in opposition to legislation and take those into account before I decide. But if I had to guess today, is this a bill I'll be able to sign? My guess would be probably yes.
Do we have any questions on the line?
Governor?
Yes. Tony, how are
you? Tony Mangan from... Good, how are you, Governor?
Good.
Quick question. During the Bureau of Human Resources, their budget discussion, there's been discussion about the state employees' health plan. And there's been some concern from the State Employees Association that the increase could really cause problems for some employees as far as deductibles and copays. Have you had any discussion about that, and is there anything that can be done about that?
We have discussed that in the administration, and our budget proposal, as originally offered, we felt was a reasonable approach to balancing the burden of increased costs between the state as an employer and the employees, and also looking to find opportunities for cost reduction through efficiencies and contracts. And that's, of course, a judgment. And what the legislature would regard as a fair balancing of those three matters is certainly within their purview to judge. And I'm sure this is something that we'll continue to talk about. I know the Board of Regents has a bill in they're concerned about, as we are experiencing claims that are higher than we had anticipated, that the budget proposal I offered gives them some relief, but doesn't close the gap entirely. So I know they've got a bill in. No one wants to spend more money than necessary, and no one wants to bear the burden if it can be borne by someone else. Unfortunately, the claims are what they are, and we're a self-insured plan, and I think that's still an efficient approach to managing our health claims. But when the claims come in more expensive than we projected, or more frequently than expected, then we're going to have to share out those costs among those who bear them.
Is that one of those things, Governor, when, you know, you can't predict the kind of the cost or the claims? Is it, you know, is there any way you can deal with that, or you just have to deal with the claims as they come in?
Well, you do your best to forecast, and I know from my role at Children's Home Society, we had our own self-insured claim process, and there were some years where we were pretty good about predicting what the claims would be and assessing ourselves to set aside enough money to cover those claims, and then there were other years when we didn't do very well. And so you try to target it as best you can, but in the end, it's a judgment. And in this year, I would say, especially in these, maybe these last couple of years, as the Affordable Care Act has come into play, it's made the landscape more changeable. You know, the limits on individual claims totals came off entirely. As I think I mentioned that at an earlier press conference, it used to be there was a cap on the total amount of claims that the plan would pay for any individual participant, and now there are no caps. And that's part of the law, and that's something we're adapting to, but it does impact the claim numbers as they total up.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, Governor, one of the more discussed bills in the Capitol, at least today, is the bill that, as I understand it, would repeal the Department of Agriculture's rules governing raw milk production and sale. What's your opinion on that?
You know, there are a number of states around the country that do regulate the sale of raw milk. I don't think our regulations are more restrictive than most. I do think that the public does rely on government to some degree to ensure that the food that they can purchase meets certain safety standards. Certainly, the consumer has a responsibility themselves as well to not ingest things that are riskier than other things, but I do think they do rely upon the government to have some minimal standards. The regulations that the department has proposed, I'm not a food scientist, I don't pretend to understand the numbers. That's not in my area of expertise. But as I understand it, there's no prohibition on selling raw milk. There are some standards that a seller must meet in terms of demonstrating cleanliness and the safety of their product. And I don't think those are overly burdensome, not from my understanding of it. So I think it's a reasonable approach that, I guess, as again, I would say many, many other states employ, and I think it's a reasonable thing to do.
Right. Governor Dugard, one of the resolutions that's been kind of going through as of recent by Representative Hoffman is extending the term limits. They want to bring that to a public vote. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that. Do you think that the voters should decide? Do you think that term limits should be extended for state lawmakers? Just your thoughts on that.
Sure. Well, of course, as you mentioned, this is a constitutional matter. It's something that only the people can decide. If you ask me how I would vote as an individual, I haven't read the resolution myself, but as I understand it, it simply extends the number of consecutive terms from 4 2-year terms to 6 2-year terms, and would allow a legislator to serve up to 12 years in a given house. And I think that's something I would vote for. In my experience, when I first entered the legislature, term limits had just been adopted in 1992, and I came into office at the beginning of 1997. And so most of the legislature at that time, or I should say it this way, many legislators at that time included people who had served for more than 12 years. I can remember several that had served between 15 and 20 years or more. And that does provide some institutional knowledge and some stability and some maturity in the depth of the knowledge about all the issues. It's a complicated world. And I remember how, as a new legislator, one is expected to drink at the fire hose a bit to try and understand all the issues and all the law that one must understand to make good judgments on bills that are proposed. So I also see in some instances you have folks who have leadership potential and feel an urgency to vie for leadership positions earlier than they might otherwise vie for those positions. So it tends to create conflict, and it tends to create change in the leadership roles more frequently than you might otherwise see. And again, this creates difficulty within the caucuses, and it forces inexperienced members into leadership roles earlier than they might otherwise move into those roles. So I don't think 12 years is an undue length of time, considering the fact, too, that our legislature only meets for 40 days at most, and then they go back to the real world, and it's hard to keep all that information in your head for 10 months when you're not engaged. Then you come back and have to relearn it again or remember it again. So that's probably more than you want to know, but I'll probably vote for that if it does get on the ballot.
Do you have any other questions on the line? Any other questions in the room?